opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl Botten, usually Trish Clark, but Trish is still on vacay. So, good morning. It is, like I said, the 25th of January, 2024, 7:05 in the morning. And the news is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Christina is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
What national day is it today?
Oh, today is actually National Irish Coffee Day.
Irish Coffee Day.
And there's a really sweet legend how it's created. It was created in the Second War in 1942.
Uh-huh.
There was an old farmer who was trying to heat the soldiers with coffee, and he was having like a hiding homemade Irish whiskey. And he was adding a bit of whiskey to each coffee to make them warmer.
Oh, that works.
That's really sweet.
We could do that today.
For sure.
Maybe later. Okay, and then the weather. Okay, the weather's kind of begun to kind of be like it has been the last week or so. Today, it should be clearing up, and we should have a partly sunny day with a high near 56 today. But then again, tonight it starts to rain. And Friday, 50% chance of showers, and Saturday and Sunday, or Saturday, showers likely. And Sunday, it should start clearing up and be mostly sunny with a high near 70. Now, that's the highest it's been in a couple weeks. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 69, and then Tuesday it starts to rain again. So the lows are running around in the 40s, low 40s, mid 40s. Sunday night, though, because when it gets up to 70, the low is going to be around 51. So weather like we've had for the last week or so, rains for a few days and clears up for a day, and then it comes back again. Good for the Lake Shasta's gone up 6 feet in a week, last week. So that's really good news. But the weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane, a family-owned business, locally owned out of Anderson, and that gives just great service. You know, propane's all the same. So it comes down to customer service, and Shasta Gas Propane has just outstanding customer service. They have discounts for seniors. They have discounts for veterans. They have other payment plans. You can reach them at 530-365-3793. It's also a veteran-owned business. That's Shasta Gas Propane. So what did you think of last night, Olga Kapalova and her piano concert that was at the St. James I think it's Methodist Church. Yeah.
First of all, I have to say it's my first piano concert in life. I never heard how people...
You've never been to one?
No.
I thought in Ukraine you guys were big on that kind of stuff.
We are, but we have like horse orchestras, and it's like kind of different. It's a bit different.
Okay.
And first of all, like her level is really high. The way how she plays and acts, is, I feel like it's a really...
Total consummate professional.
I agree, and like I'm not sure if I even can move so fast how her fingers was like on the piano.
Oh, she is just a Olga was on the show, and we've been talking about it, and it was a lot of people there last night, and the she did her compositions that she chose were all from women composers, and it was just outstanding.
Incredible.
Right, she is just. And I'm, you know, you're kind of watching it, and you're watching her hands, and the never struck a bad key, or if it was, you know, so skillfully hidden, and you never knew about it.
But
so,
I just feel so many energy and so many patience while she was playing those composers, and just the energy what she was putting out for the audience was just incredible. I was in shock and press.
Uh-huh. And then the Reading School of the Arts Orchestra and their strings, orchestra, violins and cello and bass, played a, you know, The Little Mermaid. a Little Mermaid song. And they were just great. I mean, when they first started playing, I leaned over to Linda. I said, are they playing with a track or something? She goes, no. And they were, you know, they were just absolutely incredibly good. And, you know, all ages in there.
I totally agree. And it's motivating.
Yeah, 12-year-olds are doing this. I mean, yeah.
Like little angels.
It was great. Anyway, you missed it. When she comes back again, we'll let you know. Scott Seaton's going to be coming on here soon from the North State Symphony. They've got things starting here now in the next month. It was extremely, extremely interesting. You know, it started at 7. I don't like going out at 7 o'clock on a work night because I don't know how long it's lasting. But we were out of there by 8:30. Home by 8:45, because you can get anywhere around here in the city in 15 minutes. But it was well worth it, and all of the proceeds went to the Radio School of the Arts and the Arts Foundation here and Piano Angels to help support the arts here in Reading and in other places. Okay. I want to talk about these... Yeah, I think I got enough time. I want to talk about these three guys. It's been in the news. These three friends went to a buddy's house to watch the Kansas City Chiefs play on January 7th. And it's been a few days ago, but things have been kind of unfolding since then. And they never came home. Never came home. Next day, people are, you know, they're texting the guy that owns the place. They are, you know, they're calling the fiance of one goes over there and thinks he's in there. And she knocks on the door and rings the bell. And then she finally breaks the window and goes in. And the guy comes out and he's drinking a glass of wine. And he goes, what's going on? Have you seen my fiance? And he goes, no, they left here. He said, I went to bed, and they were still watching it, and, they left. Well, they didn't leave. They were all found in the backyard, two of them out in the yard, and one on the porch. All had frozen to death. Now, I'm not one to say that people were doing anything wrong. But the question is, were they just drinking so heavily that they had this great idea, let's go out and play football, and I find it hard to believe that they would have passed out in the yard, especially with one of them kind of like he's heading back to the porch. So then you've got to ask yourself, and I have no reason to believe this. I mean, there's no proof for this. Was there drugs involved? And there's a statement, the guy said there were five of them there, five people there. And so one's the landowner, or not landowner, but the guy living in the house, and the other three. So who was the fifth guy? So that kind of came out. And they've all been friends since high school. And they were discovered by McGinney's fiance. And found the body on the back porch. When the police arrived, they found the other two bodies in the garden. There were no obvious signs of foul play seen at or near where the men were found. And no arrests had been made, but you know the investigation's going on. Three guys, I mean, these are, you know, they all guys that worked and everything. And so then you have to ask yourself again, did they get some bad drugs? Or... What would have happened to have three men die, froze to death, unless they were unconscious and stayed out there all night?
Excuse me, ask what was the temperature?
Oh yeah, it was cold. It was the temperature in Kansas City had hovered around freezing during the days the men were missing. So that could happen if they were unconscious and their body temperature dropped below a certain amount and. That's it. You know, you go to sleep, you never wake up. So, I want to follow that. and see if they ever come up with what causes, because this is too strange to be just kind of like, okay, let's just pass over that. In fact, I had to go back and look for it because it's been a couple of days and they talked about it, then just disappeared. So I had to go in and look for it to find out if it was, what happened there and see if there'd been any new information. Okay, time for our first break. And today being Thursday, this portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, Attorney at Law. Patrick Gorman, Attorney at Law, is the man that helps you get your insurance that you've paid for. And if you've been getting denials for workers' comp, if you've been injured on the job, it can change your life. It can change your family's life. Your employer wants you to be back, but some things aren't happening. You're not getting the medical care you should because of insurance problems, or it's taking way too long. Well, that's when you need to give Patrick Gorman, Attorney at Law, a call at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. He's got the largest workers' compensation firm north of Sacramento. He's located in Palo Cedro, but he takes those phone calls. Insurance company and your employer sometimes have attorneys working for them. Insurance company's got lots of attorneys. That's why you need to call Patrick. He's a scrapper. Give him a call, 530-262-2168 today if you're having problems, and he's going to give you the straight scoop. All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. I've lived in Shasta County for over 50 years, and it's been a true honor to serve as chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors this last year. Proven conservative leadership. I'm leading the effort to build a new correctional facility for Shasta County. Working closely with the sheriff, public works, and our CEO, I believe this will help immensely reduce crime in Shasta County. Thank you for your support. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds, Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members, great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Are you wanting a new look for your kitchen or bathroom? At Design Time and Tile, they have granite slabs on sale for $500. You heard correct. Only $500 on select granite slabs. Look for the orange tags. Design Time and Tile's orange tag sale only lasts while inventory lasts, so shop today. Stop by their showroom at Clear Creek Road and Highway 273 and speak with one of their design consultants. Or visit their website, designtime.store. Design Time and Tile, again voted best in the North State.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM. This is Carl Bach. Thinking about purchasing an electric car, truck, or bicycle? Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of that vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. Now, for you fans of Deliverance. It was made like 50 years ago, first of all. And if you remember that movie, how can you not, squeal like a pig part, but, blazoned in your head. The director used locals in the movie, and the toothless guy that was out there confronting, the four canoeists was Herbert Cowboy Coward, and he played the toothless man in Deliverance, was killed in a crash Wednesday in Clyde, North Carolina. Now, he wasn't in any movies after that, but it said he was 83, and he said that his 78-year-old girlfriend was also killed in the crash. But the couple's chihuahua and pet squirrel were also killed. So, play that. Okay, the chilling 1972 classic Deliverance was shot primarily in Rabun County in northeastern Georgia, and some of the actors were locals. His famous line was, "He got a real pretty mouth, ain't he?" This means nothing to you unless you saw Deliverance. Okay, anyway, he'd worked in a local theme park. That was around there. His acting started at Ghost Town in the Sky, and where he performed daily shootouts at the Wild West themed amusement park. And his first break came thanks to then budding actor Burt Reynolds, who also worked at Maggie Valley Mountainside Attraction. So that's how he got into it. You've never heard of that movie, have you? No, I didn't think so. Well, I thought it was the song has gone, forever. And the people that were in the movie, of course, have gone on to bigger and better. John Voight, Burt Reynolds, two of the other guys, and I can't remember the names right now, but they went on to become big stars too. The group that played, well, one of them who played the nastiest guy in that was also a real actor who went on to be in many, many movies, especially with Clint Eastwood. So, it's just kind of a, I don't know. It's just kind of a, interesting to see. I guess when the chihuahua and the pet squirrel got killed too. So sorry to hear that. Okay. The Oregon is starting to rethink that their drug decriminalization is not working. In 2020, voters in Oregon narrowly approved a measure that would reimagine efforts to deal with drug addictions by decriminalizing nearly every aspect of the illicit drug trade. Resources would instead be focusing on getting people into treatment and incentivizing recovery programs. I'm getting this out of the, it's called Hot Air. So I'm taking it out of their article. The results have been nothing short of catastrophic, with junkies overdosing, in many cases dying on public sidewalks and in parks. The hands of police have been tied, and supposedly mandatory recovery plans are widely ignored by drug users, which is what we know. If you don't have a hammer on most drug users, the vast majority of them, they're just not going to do it. And now they just made it easier for them to get it. This week, the Oregon Democrats, who originally dreamed up this plan, finally seemed to realize the errors of their ways. New legislation has been introduced that would recriminalize public drug use and possession, allowing the police to confiscate illegal drugs and arrest those engaging in the trade in public. This was reportedly done only after lawmakers realized that public opinion had soured on the plan. A sweeping new bill that would undo a key part of the state's first-in-the-nation drug decriminalization, a recognition that public opinion has soured on the measure amid rampant public drug use during the fentanyl crisis, would recriminalize the possession of small amounts of drugs as low-level misdemeanor, allowing police to confiscate those and to crack down on their use on sidewalks and parks. It aims to make it easier to prosecute dealers, to access addiction treatment medication, and to obtain and keep housing without facing discrimination for using that medication. I imagine that's the stuff, you know, for heroin addicts and all that. It was such a mess that you couldn't, you know, anybody with common sense would say, this is not going to work. You decriminalize it. Do you think that people are just going to magically change the way they are? I don't have to worry about being arrested. Let me run down to the nearest rehab center and enter. Well, it didn't work. Didn't work that way. Just the opposite. The whole thing was, we decriminalized marijuana. Yeah. Like, that doesn't have an impact on people either. I mean, really, marijuana, the impact it has on your brain, and especially for younger people. I mean, you know, you don't let younger people smoke cigarettes. And God knows nobody in California can be trusted with a menthol cigarette or a flavored cigarette. My God, if you just can't do that. It just, you know, it just leads on. I don't care if you're 45 years old and you've been smoking menthol cigarettes since you were 25. Well, I don't care. You can't do that. We don't trust you. It's leading you on. No, it's not leading you on. So where do people go and get their flavored cigarettes? Well, it gets bootlegged into the state, of course, from other states. Or you can go to one of the tribes. I'm not saying this one here, not the Ready Rancheria, but you can go into places they have smoke shops and some of the res. And guess what? Walk in there and get anything you want as far as menthol cigarettes or flavored tobacco or any of that thing. And speaking of that, substitutes for tobacco, one of them is called Zen. It's just nicotine in a pouch. And, you know, there's no tobacco in it, but it gives you a little nicotine hit. And Chuck Schumer, with the border going on, with the inflation and everything, he wants to do away with that. Oh, there's young people who are using it. Chuck, look at the border. Chuck, look what's happening in Israel and Hamas. Look what's happening in the Middle East. Look what's happening everywhere. And you want to take time to do away with a non-tobacco product. Because it has nicotine in it. Chuck, 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 Chuck. you should take Nancy Pelosi's page and just step down. Take, you know, take your money, continue to make your $1 million of speech. You know, just, you know, enough. We're going to take a break now, and we're going to be right back after these messages. Hey, at 8 o'clock, Matt Plummer's coming on, a supervisor, running for supervisor, District 4 against Patrick Jones. We'll be right back.
Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Shout out to Reading Rancheria. Appreciate you guys for all your help. With the help that you guys gave us, we were able to stick around, retain some of our employees, and make sure all the customers got what they needed. Thank you guys.
Hi there. Us here at the Post Office Saloon would like to thank the Reading Rancheria for supporting us and our community through the COVID pandemic.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
When it comes to dinner, you're looking for tasty, flavor, ample portions, choices, and great value in a cozy, clean, family-friendly environment. Guests tell us our home-style dinners deliver on all counts. Whether you choose chicken fried steak, house-made meatloaf, roasted turkey, or slow-cooked pot roast, you'll be full and satisfied in the best way possible. So make Black Bear Diner your January comfort dinner destination. Open daily at 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Craft season is open. One Safe Place and Children's Legacy Center are proud to bring you the 37th annual One Safe Place Crab Feed on Saturday, February 3rd at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. It's all-you-can-eat crab and oceans of fun, all while helping provide shelter and care to local survivors of abuse. Tickets are available online at ospshasta.org. Sponsored in part by Sierra Pacific Industries, Reading Rancheria, Professional Exterminator, Tri-County Bank, News Channel 7, Results Radio, Stevens Media Group, and this station. For info, visit ospshasta.org.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Reading Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Reading Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Reading Rancheria. Proud to play our part.
See, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning. It is the 25th of January, 7:34 in the morning. You can listen to us. Besides over the airwaves, you can go to our website, KCNR1460.com, where we stream. You can listen to all of our shows on your computer or phone or other devices. Hey, tonight, today, areas of fog before 9, otherwise partly sunny with a high near 56 and a 30% chance of showers this evening. Mostly cloudy with a low near 43 and a 50% chance of showers tomorrow. And tomorrow night with a high of 55 and a low around 48. Weather report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned, locally operated company out of Anderson, 530-365-3793. Something near and dear to many people's hearts. We've been talking about this, about fees. Well, this is interesting because this could have an impact. And it's already, it's made it to the Supreme Court. A gentleman by the name of George Sheets has spent 50 years in construction saving his money. He bought a vacant lot not far from Lake Tahoe, and he planned to build a house there. Now, this is a manufactured house. It wasn't like it was so stick-built and all that. When he went to get his building permit, he was issued an unexpected traffic impact mitigation fee for over $23,000. The county legislature had created that fee a few years ago to help pay for the road work. That's when I started getting upset. I said, this is ridiculous. He's built several homes throughout his life, so he's familiar with the typical administrative processes and cost. And he recalled a county official telling him, well, you don't have to build here. Go someplace else. And no, he already had a down payment on his home, so in 2016, he paid the fee. But soon after, he sued the county, arguing that the fee amount wasn't proportionate to the actual impact his project would cause on the roads. He thought it was outrageous that a small 1,800-square-foot manufactured home wouldn't cause anything like these kinds of traffic impacts. What the county did to Mr. Sheets was fundamentally unfair, says his attorney, Paul Beard. The county asked Mr. Sheets to pay for pre-existing deficiencies on a highway and local roads as a condition for issuing a permit. They asked him to pay for traffic impacts caused by other uses and developments like retail development and office development. Why should he have to pay for those pre-existing deficiencies and for the impacts caused by others? Good question. It's a house on his own property. How much of an impact on the roads is that going to have? After a 7-year legal battle that included two rulings against him, Beard argued Sheets' case before the Supreme Court earlier this month with attorneys from the Pacific Legal Foundation, a libertarian public interest law firm serving as co-counsel. I never dreamed we'd get to the Supreme Court, to be honest with you, Sheets said. I just wanted to fight the fight because I knew what they were doing was wrong. El Dorado County, however, argued that the fee was needed to pay for road maintenance and is similar to other local government's fees that fund parks, police departments, and other services. The impact fees that we're talking about are the ones that the Shasta County Board of Supervisors voted to end or suspend. Beard said the government had every right to collect revenue to bankroll such services that would benefit the public, but the way the county's doing it is illegal. County didn't bother to tie the fee over $23,000 to actual impacts of his project. They were instead using him as a revenue raiser. The county deputy chief administrator has declined an interview request. The outcome of the case could have nationwide ramifications on how local agencies fund the cost of providing needed public infrastructure such as roads and firefighting equipment. The county fees under attack have already been upheld by the California Superior Court and the California Court of Appeal, which confirmed that the county complied with all applicable requirements for the imposition of development impact fees. So, This is going to be interesting. He says, I don't mind paying a fee, but $23,000 for an 1,800-square-foot manufactured house, it's all on my property, it's not a development, seems to be a little bit too much. The county's fees were based not on any impacts caused by Mr. Sheets. They just wanted him to contribute to prior road deficiencies related to the roads near his house. It's unconstitutional. In other words, the county needed to put the financial burden for the roads on all taxpayers or calculate the financial impact of Sheets's project and charge them appropriately. Yeah. That seems fair to me. If I'm building one house on my own property for me and Linda, having to pay a large traffic impact fee because there's existing deficiencies already on that road does not seem fair, which is what a lot of people say. Doesn't seem fair. Tell me how much my impact there will be, and I'll be more than happy to pay that. You know, you figure it out. You know, two people, two cars, one of them's a pickup truck. It's going to be, you know, I mean, there's formulas, there's algorithms out there that would do that and just go, okay, your cost for this would be approximately this much a year and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then you come up with a figure, but it wouldn't be $23,000. So anyway, and this kind of ties into what our Board of Supervisors did when they suspended impact fees. Now, those impact fees go into paying for a lot of things, including the jail, and they've suspended that. And they're saying that they'll make it up on new construction, there'll be more construction, there'll be more people building, which then leads to more money on the other end. Has yet to be seen if that's true. We'll see. We'll see what the impact's going to be. Now, the other thing they did was they introduced the resolution that county employees can now legally carry on county property and in county buildings. This was tried by the city years ago. You might remember it, and it didn't fly. So when they announced this, nobody really knew what they were going to do. The unions had not heard about this. And there's things in the union tenets that say you have to provide a safe working space. Now, I would imagine that if they're like the average population right here in Shasta County, and that there's over 12,000 concealed carry holders in Shasta County, none's ever been accused of doing anything wrong, that probably there's a number of county employees that have a concealed carry license. So the question is that should they have the same constitutional right to carry into their workplace as the people that work here or work at Maxwell's or work at From the Hearth? If they have a concealed carry permit, they've gone through the training, they've been gone through the background investigation. I don't mind that. I don't mind people coming in here with a concealed carry that they've gone through the process with. They just can't put one on and carry it. That's illegal. So this would be the first county, of course, in California to do this. And the question is this a an overreach by three members of the board, or is this just something that says, look, it's they've got their concealed carry, it's a constitutional right that the Supreme Court said that you can carry a firearm to protect yourself, even though the state of California wants to disarm, or the Democrats of the state of California and legislature want to disarm all law-abiding citizens, and to hell with you, and let the criminals carry everywhere they want to. There is no difference. I don't want to get into the doomsday scenario, but you know where we were last night, Christina, right? What if somebody had walked in and that, you know, it was illegal to carry in this church under this law. And everybody knows then there's no guns in there. And this has happened in other places. Somebody walks in with a shotgun and he just, because he's crazy or whatever, he wants to start shooting people. The only thing we could do is just run out the side doors, because you would be unable to carry, legally carry, in these places. That's what the state of California's done. And you've already heard what the sheriff said. Those parts of SB2 are unconstitutional. You heard what the DA said. She's not going to make a sweeping statement, but what she said is it's unconstitutional. She also said that, and I imagine anybody else would that knows what the Constitution says and what the rulings of the Supreme Court has done. Anyway, This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Local, you know, it's a local bank. It really is. It's a local board of directors. I know people on that board. They haven't asked me yet to be on the board of board of directors at Cornerstone. There's probably a reason for that. But they've got four branches. They have one down in Red Bluff on Riverside, and they've got two right here in Redding, one right down the street from us right here. It's very handy, 1845 California Street. You know, and if you just find Jack's, it's right there in the next block. They've got their main branch at 192 Hartnell Avenue over at the, you know, the old Cornerstone Shopping Center, and the newest branch down in Anderson on Ventura Street. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. I've lived in Shasta County for over 50 years, and it's been a true honor to serve as chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors this last year. Proven conservative leadership. I'm leading the effort to build a new correctional facility for Shasta County. Working closely with the Sheriff, Public Works, and our CEO, I believe this will help immensely reduce crime in Shasta County. Thank you for your support. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Kevin Cry's cronies are at it again. Disgruntled East Coast multimillionaire Reverge Anselmo has dumped another $250,000 into Shasta County to buy Cry, bringing Anselmo's total spending toward $2 million. Do you want to live in Anselmo County? This is not local control. Save Shasta County. Take back local control. Vote yes to recall Kevin Cry on March 5th. Paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800- 773-2345.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel has a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Susan Eastman, financial advisor, Stifel Nicolaus. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Give me a call at 530-244-7199. Again, 530-244-7199.
It's never too late to start at Shasta College. Late start classes and 8-week compressed classes are still available. To learn more about upskilling or reskilling for a current job or career, information is online at shastacollege.edu or call one of our counselors to see how easy it is to get enrolled at 530-242-7650. Shasta College offers in-person, hybrid, and online class options to fit your busy life and responsibilities. Financial aid is available. More at shastacollege.edu.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Are you wanting a new look for your kitchen or bathroom? At Design Time and Tile, they have granite slabs on sale for $500. You heard correct. Only $500 on select granite slabs. Look for the orange tags. Design Time and Tile's orange tag sale only lasts while inventory lasts. So shop today. Stop by their showroom at Clear Creek Road and Highway 273 and speak with one of their design consultants. Or visit their website, designtime.store. Design Time and Tile, again voted best in the North State.
Well, Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Bott. Trish is still on vacation, and Robert, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Thanks for your show, as always. Really appreciate you guys giving us some truth every morning. Going back to your tobacco thing real quick, you're spot on the government and their overreach, and I'm really surprised that a lawyer, and if I were, you know, I can't remember the name of the different tobacco companies, but if I were them, I would be hiring the lawyers, haven't gone and sued over the tax money that is paid per pack of cigarettes, because if you remember correctly, Bill Clinton said it was for health care. It was because all these smokers were going to need all this health care. So every smoker that's ever been shouldn't be paying for health insurance at all. They should, it should all be already paid for. But of course, we can't trust our government. They spent that money on whatever they felt like spending it on, which is, anyway, leads to my real reason for calling is I don't understand all the people in society right now, whether on the right or the left, that seem to trust our government wholeheartedly. They don't do what they say they're going to do. They spend our money frivolously. They get rich in office. I don't understand why anybody trusts our government.
Well, I think that you're starting to see that a lot of people don't trust our government. I think when you look at polls of the House of Representatives and their and the Senate, their polling numbers are just like way, way down. I'm not sure if there's not some insects that poll higher than they do, because people don't trust the government. And they don't trust the government, and it's been coming in. It's like that frog in the pot of water that you keep turning the heat up. It's been going on for such a long time. Now it's getting hot enough that people are starting to go, whoa, wait a minute, what's going on here? Why do I have to pay $23,000 for a manufactured home on my own property for the road impact it's going to have? And he sued. And then the lobster fishermen on the East Coast suing. Why do I have to pay $700 to have a fishing game person in, or a national fisheries person on my boat? I mean, to observe. I mean, if they want to observe, why do I have to pay 25% to 30% of the money I make that day to have them on the boat? And they're suing. Now, you know, people are starting to fight back, Robert. That's the only good thing I can say.
But the same people are getting elected. That's the part I don't understand. You remember, Carl, when California, it was on the ballot for gay marriage, whatever that was, 20 years ago, 22 years ago, something like that. And what happened? We voted it down, some 55% or something like that. Turn around, assembly bill, I mean, not 6 months later, some assembly bill goes through and they legalize gay marriage, put it in the Constitution. Not a single California assemblyman loses their job?
Well, it was 60% that voted against that. and that thought, you know, that marriage should be between men and women. And that's what the proposition was. Yeah, and then they changed it. Well, here's the thing. What I've read is people don't, they don't like the other representatives. They would vote against them, but their representative is okay. Now, part of that is, you know, an incumbent has the advantage when they're running, but it's rare that you see, and this is it, it's rare when you see somebody get kicked out of office, if you noticed. Anyway, yeah, you would think people would say, that's enough. You know, how much more can the state of California do to us? Well, you know, I'm afraid to even say that, because they'll find something new, like Senate Bill 2. Yeah. We just don't want you armed, but it's okay for the thugs, the gangbangers, the druggies, everybody else to be armed. But, nah, you're a law-abiding citizen. You can't be armed. Another example of just stupidity in the ranks of people in Sacramento. So, okay.
Back.
Thanks.
Back. Thanks, Carl.
You bet. Okay, I'm gonna help you start your day off. Get your pen out. These are things to do every day that will start your day well. And I already do some of them and didn't even know I was really doing the right thing. Wear a variation of the same thing every day, which was why it was so easy being in the military. I wore the same uniform every day. It was different uniform. I mean, it was a clean one but it was the same uniform. I didn't have to think about it. I did not have to use one bit of brain matter to put on a set of utilities. Or, oh, that day is Charlie's. My green trousers and my khaki shirt and my Corfram shoes. I didn't have to think about it. You just did it. Didn't have to think about it. So what they're saying is, you've got people like Zuckerberg and that wears hoodies. And then you have the guy, you know, that wore black jeans all the time. Black jeans, black turtleneck. What it says is, wear a variation of the same thing every day, like me. I wear Levi's and then another shirt, right? I don't have to think a lot about it. I've got shirts in my closet. I pick one out. I put on my Levi's, and sometimes I wear socks, sometimes I don't. That's the biggest decision, is should I wear socks today? Today I decided not to. Okay, so wear a variation of the same thing every day. Have a positive mental attitude. Start your day off by how you mentally approach the day is thinking about what you're going to do while visioning yourself accomplishing those tasks. Kickstart the day with hydration. You haven't, you know, most people will sleep 7 to 8 hours, right? You wake up, your body hasn't had any water or any liquid for 7 to 8 hours. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate in the morning. Why? Because the adult body is 50 to 65% water and blood is 82% water. The brain cells are 85% water and muscles are 75%. So, a recent study showed that hydrating by drinking enough water may improve healthy aging and help stave off illness. Also, block out time. Here's the next one. Block out time for a high impact task. Great ways to start your days by using the quiet of early mornings to plan your day before you get on your computer on what you're going to do. Focus on impact rather than just activity. Start by identifying one high impact task that will make a significant difference in your work and then dedicate this uninterrupted time to it. Before you sleep, tap into your unconscious mind. When you lie down to go to sleep, what do I need to do first tomorrow morning? And what happens is, don't try to answer it. Yeah, don't try to answer that. Rather simply ask yourself the question and then go to sleep. Your unconscious mind will sort through your mental to-do list while you sleep. And when you wake, you'll know exactly what email to send, what post to write, or have the answer to the problem you've been wrestling with all before the workday begins. There. 5 ways to start your day off, Christina. And this is, I got this as an article out of Fox News written by a lady by the name of Perry Bloomberg. 5 fast tips to be more productive, positive, and poised for success. It just makes sense, you know. I know Linda, when she's got an event coming up, will go through like 12 different outfits, you know. I mean, girls have a tendency to do that, especially if she's entertaining. She's got a gig or something like that. But in the morning, knowing what you're going to wear and just, okay, I don't have to really think about it.
You just know because you're more than everything.
Yeah, you just do it. And then planning. And then before you do anything, take that 30 minutes. Like when I get in here, take that 30 minutes to kind of think about, okay, what is the main thing I want to accomplish today? And then what I do is I write them down on this yellow pad of paper and say, these are things I have to do. And I put, and then I try to, after the show's over, I go back to that list and I start trying to accomplish them. Some of them I do. Some of them I will make phone calls and I'm going to have to make another note tomorrow to call back or I'm going to receive a call. So, but the water, everybody can do water.
I totally agree, and also I wrote an article, if we won't take our phones or any, like, social media devices, in the first 90 minutes, our brain will work much better through the day. We won't be more sleepy. We won't be tired and so much negative as we will take our phones, because we will give our...
So don't look at your phones the first 90 days?
90 minutes.
For 90 minutes, don't look at your phones or anything
this
like that.
This is what...
That's good. That's good. I like
scientists
it.
Say. I didn't try it, because...
I mean, I look at my phone in the morning, you know, after I get to work, which, you know, and then it stays on my desk during the show. and we got to run. But then I find out people will have sent me texts that would impact on the show, like, I'm going to be late, or is that today? Those kind of things. Anyway, Matt Plummer should be here when we right after the news, and we can talk about his run for supervisor, and we'll be right back.
Your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomas. A number of Republican governors, along with House Speaker Johnson, voicing support for Texas Governor Greg Abbott. He's at odds with the Biden administration, which has been fighting to keep the southern border open while Abbott tries to secure the border. The controversy is heating up after the Supreme Court refused to block the Border Patrol from cutting through razor wire fencing installed by Texas. Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee is among a growing number of Republicans urging Nikki Haley to drop out of the GOP presidential race, saying it's clear that Donald Trump will be the party's standard bearer.
He is going to be the nominee. We need to unify behind him. We need to focus on winning the Senate and House seats that are going to be necessary for him to have a majority to support his agenda.
Blackburn speaking with the Salem Radio Network's Hugh Hewitt. The lines at the unemployment office got a bit longer last week.
The Labor Department says applications for unemployment benefits rose to 214,000 for the week ending January 20th. That was an increase of 25,000 from the previous week. Overall, 1.83 million Americans were collecting jobless benefits during the week that ended January 13th. That's an increase of 27,000 from the previous week. Weekly unemployment claims are viewed as representative for the number of U.S. layoffs in a given week. Wagner reporting.
The U.S. economy, as measured by the gross domestic product, grew at a 3.3% annual rate the final 3 months of last year. Despite higher interest rates and a low inventory of houses, new home sales rose 4% last year. Builders quick to offer incentives aimed at sweetening the pot for potential buyers. Stocks are higher on Wall Street this morning. The Dow is up 47 points, the Nasdaq 72 points higher. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The new FedNow system is paving the way for the digital dollar. It grants the government unprecedented access to your financial transactions. This isn't just an invasion of privacy. It's a direct assault on your liberty and hard-earned money. It's another reason why I recommend physical gold IRAs from the Birch Gold Group. I'm Lance Wallnow. I'm a news analyst and a podcaster with nearly 25 million downloads to people just like you who cherish their financial independence. A precious metals IRA can help you avoid the scrutiny of Big Brother while also preserving your retirement savings through almost anything, including economic crashes, political instability, and even hyperinflation. To find out more, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word FAITH to 989898. Birch Gold Group is the only gold company I trust. Get their free info kit and see how a gold IRA can help you. Text FAITH to 989898. Remember, there's no strings attached. Text FAITH to the number 989898 right now, and I pray you're blessed with continued prosperity.
Another case of suspected Russian hacking has surfaced.
The group is best known as Cozy Bear, an elite hacking team run by Russia's SVR Foreign Intelligence Service. Their latest suspected target, Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, the provider of information technology products and services, disclosed in a regulatory filing that hackers broke into its cloud-based email system on January 12th and stole data from cybersecurity and other employees. Last week, Microsoft reported it also discovered an intrusion on the same day. Cozy Bear focuses stealth intelligence gathering on Western governments, IT service providers, and think tanks in the U.S. and Europe. I'm Ben Thomas.
French President Macron is in India. He's expected to meet with Prime Minister Modi. He'll also be the chief guest at the country's National Day celebrations. Two leaders expected to discuss major global challenges in economics, defense, space, and cybersecurity. News and analysis, townhall.com. Tea is at the center of a salty U.S.-U.K. controversy.
An American scientist has sparked a transatlantic tempest in a teapot by offering Britain advice on its favorite hot beverage. Bryn Mawr College chemistry professor Michelle Fresnel says one of the keys to a perfect cup of tea is a pinch of salt. The tip is included in Fennell's book, Steeped, The Chemistry of Tea, published Wednesday by the Royal Society of Chemistry. The salt suggestion drew howls of outrage from tea lovers in Britain. "Don't even say the word salt to us," the etiquette guide de Bretz wrote on X. Even the U.S. Embassy in London intervened, stressing that adding salt to Britain's national drink is not official United States policy. Keith Peters reporting.
Apple has rolled out an operating system update that makes it more difficult for phone thieves to access key functions and settings, and users being urged to turn it on immediately. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and you can hop into our chat room there, too. Make pithy comments and those kind of things. Today, the 25th of January, 2024, it's the birthday of a friend I've had since 1967. A very good person, and I just wanted to say happy birthday to Kathy. And the time is 8:05. The news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassionate, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Christina's here. Christina and I and Linda had a date last night, even though we didn't all go together. We went to see Olga Kapalova, the San Paolo Symphonic Orchestra's principal pianist.
It was
in here in town visiting her mom and gave a concert last night. It was beautiful. And the Reading School of the Arts kids, their strings orchestra, you know, violins and oboes and one bass, played Little Mermaid. It was wonderful. I mean, it was... I thought it was a track playing along with them. And Linda elbows me. She goes, "It's not a track. That's them." And I went, "They're that, gosh, they're that good." They're,
even you know, I'm like a young.
How old were they? 13, 12, 10, 11, 13, something like that. They weren't old.
I think maybe around 12 years old, I guess.
Yeah.
But their voices, there was like so thin and so loud and so nice.
I can't hear you. Get in close.
Do you hear me, one?
I hear you now.
I mean, their voices were so beautiful. I'm a young soul. I don't really go into this kind of concerts.
Uh-huh.
But I was enjoying so much. I was feeling like a pleasure, like a meditation by listening to her music and those kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And her and the compositions she played were by all female composers. So, including the last one from a lady here in the United States that was world-renowned, African-American lady that when she went to one of the music schools, she had to pass as a Hispanic. Otherwise, she wouldn't have gotten into the school. I mean, and it was just left a treasure trove of music. And so Olga played one of her compositions last night, too. Anyway, okay. Today, the weather, and people are asking, Trisha's still on vacay. So that's where she is on vacation. And we expect her back, you know, sometime. You know, people take longer vacations. Today, areas of fog before 9 a.m. Well, I don't see any out there, but probably down by the river. Otherwise, it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 56. And tonight, a 30% chance of showers and a low around 43. And Friday, it's going to rain. Saturday, showers likely, mostly cloudy. With a high of 59. And then Sunday, mostly sunny, with a high near 70. Yeah, 70 and a low of 51. Mostly sunny on Monday. Tuesday starts back again, showers Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's going to be just the same kind of weather we've been having for the last couple of weeks. And the weather report's always brought to you by the Kenny family and Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, locally owned, locally operated company. They give outstanding customer service to their to their customers. They do treat them like warm friends. It's a veteran-owned company, and it gives discounts to veterans and seniors. And they've got other payment plans there, too. You can reach them at 530-365-3793. And I'm here with Matt Plummer, who is running for district supervisor, District 4.
Yep.
I always have to go back and check. To me, the districts are numbered weird. That's just me, though. So good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, for people that haven't heard you before, and you've been on the show before.
Right.
And we'll get you again, too, before the election. Tell us about Matt Plummer. Who are you?
Yes.
Where'd you come from? How'd you get here? And why'd you run?
So I grew up in a small town in western New Jersey, about 1 square mile big. And the story is that there's a train station in the town, or there was, you know, when it started. And they were writing California on the sign of where the train was headed, and they ran out of room and cut it short and ended up writing Califon, and then the town became named Califon. And so that's where I grew up. It was, I don't know if that's actually true, but that's like the folklore in the town.
It's a story, and I'm sticking to it.
There you go. Yeah. So that's where I grew up, and then lived around on the East Coast in the Midwest for a number of years before moving out here about 7.5 years ago. And professionally did a number of different things. My first job out of school was working at a big company that kind of think of like an Amazon, but for industrial supplies. So nuts, bolts, cranes.
Yeah.
And so it was an interesting, company where they take people who don't really know anything about their business, and they throw them into supervising departments and managing departments really quickly. And so I got a lot of experience managing people and trying to build respect with people who were old enough to be my parents, had been there 10, 15 years, did not like management in general. And so that was a good lesson. But when I was there, what I realized is, you know, this was the height of the Great Recession, 2009. I was in the Midwest. The auto industry had collapsed, and I would walk to my apartment, and I would see all these empty machine shops, these little tool and die shops that had been mom and pop businesses for years that were now abandoned. And I began thinking about, you know, what's the future for those people? You know, what's next for them? How do we, you know, what's next for this community? And I realized that the things I was thinking about at work were different from the things that I, you know, wanted to be thinking about. So I left there, joined a nonprofit that helps other nonprofits. And basically we would look around the country and say, who's doing something that's effective and actually making a difference? And then we would help them grow. So we'd develop 5-year, 10-year plans. We'd connect them to funding. Sometimes it was, you know, $1 million. Sometimes it was up to $100 million. And we'd help them structure their organization, measure their performance, and, you know, develop their strategy. So did that for a number of years. During that time, moved here, worked remotely for a year. I had a 1- and a 3-year-old at the time, which was an interesting cross-country trip. After a year here, my wife and I were like, okay, we're going to stay here. We're going to plant. We want to be here for the long term. And so I left that and said, you know, there aren't a lot of jobs that can become careers here. And so I started a company that would train other companies, nonprofits, and government agencies on how to be more productive and efficient, how to use critical thinking to solve problems, and how to manage people. And so I've been doing that for about 6 years. Which takes me to the last part of the journey, which is about 3 years ago. And kind of throughout this, the key decision in my career was, what can I do that can move the community forward? So I was joining a nonprofit, then I was starting a company. And then I was like, government is having a huge influence on our community, both from a policy standpoint and also from a cultural standpoint. And so I started working on campaigns, first just volunteering, and was involved in some state-level campaigns, did a ballot initiative for Shasta County, and then most recently a local city council race.
Okay. So what brought you to Reading, though?
So we came here to go to Bethel Church, and, you know, we had been following the church kind of from a faith angle for a long time, and also the work I was doing at the nonprofit, which wasn't faith-based, but was about how do you a lot of it was working in communities and saying, how do we take the next step in communities? And so I was interested in what Bethel was doing on that front and saying, okay, well, they're using a faith-based angle. I've been using kind of a non-faith-based angle. What would it look like to combine that? And so that was part of the interest that drew us out here as well.
Okay. All right. Small town boy.
Yeah.
Just, you know, found his niche in life, helping other companies, nonprofits, or government to be more fit and more efficient and effective.
Right.
I like that. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. I've lived in Shasta County for over 50 years, and it's been a true honor to serve as chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors this last year. Proven conservative leadership. I'm leading the effort to build a new correctional facility for Shasta County. Working closely with the Sheriff, Public Works, and our CEO, I believe this will help immensely reduce crime in Shasta County. Thank you for your support. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
As we all get older, the one constant thing is the aggressive, excessive mail and advertising for Medicare, Medicare supplements, and Medicare Advantage. And almost every one of them is a call center with no idea of what you really need. Siskiyou Insurance has an agent that deals with nothing but Medicare issues and can explain the differences clearly between a Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage. Call Greg Green at Siskiyou Insurance at 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Are you wanting a new look for your kitchen or bathroom? At Design Time and Tile, they have granite slabs on sale for $500. You heard correct. Only $500 on select granite slabs. Look for the orange tags. Design Time and Tile's orange tag sale only lasts while inventory lasts, so shop today. Stop by their showroom at Clear Creek Road and Highway 273 and speak with one of their design consultants. Or visit their website, designtime.store. Design Time and Tile, again voted best in the North State.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Mirror Talk Radio. 8:18 in the morning here on the 25th of January, 2024. It's 47 degrees out there and cloudy. Hoping that it's going to clear up today, like the forecast says. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, voted number one in the North State. And they should be. You know what? Those are really good people down there. Four Winds Jewelry's been around 30 years, and Leonard started it and just did well with it and then sold it to Rebecca and Henry, two really fine people with a great deal of integrity. Amazing selection of jewelry at very fair prices. The only full-service jewelry store in Redding. Four Winds Jewelry, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Redding, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. And I'm here with Matt Plummer, who is running for district supervisor, District 4. And let's go to your priorities here, Matt. Your first one is reduce homelessness.
Right.
And the point in time count.
Mm-hmm.
You had 300 plus or minus in 2007 to over 1,000 now. Mm-hmm. In 14 years. No. 15, 16 years. Okay.
Right.
What is your thought about how to handle homelessness then? I mean, it has grown, but it's grown in the state of California. And,
right.
I mean, we're like a mecca. We're a magnet to homeless. Most of the homeless in the United States, over half the homeless in the United States, live in California.
Yeah, half of the unsheltered homeless.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think we have to look at what is working in other places. And so, there's two models that I've looked to. One is an organization that I actually worked with back dating about 8 years ago, and they started an initiative called Built for Zero, and they're working with over 100 communities around the country, and they've gotten 14 communities to what they call functional zero, which is on a daily basis, you know, under five homeless, depending on the size of the population. And so what are they doing that is actually working in these communities? Number one, they actually set a goal of reducing homelessness. So you see in most communities that are working on homelessness, you don't actually see them talking about a goal of reducing homelessness and actually tracking that on a regular basis. And so, and even that organization, what they did first before doing that, they started the 100,000 homes campaign, where their goal was to help communities build and house 100,000 people in 18 months across the country. And after 18 months, they were actually successful in doing that, but they realized the homelessness numbers didn't go down in those communities. And so what they realized is that they need to focus on the actual measure of success, which was homelessness and number of people homeless. And then what they do is they create a by name list where you have a list of everyone who's homeless and you have the organizations that are working on it, you know, effectively the people that are participating in the continuum of care. And you have them review that list on a monthly basis, update it, and troubleshoot for individuals on there what's needed. So I think that's a starting point. And what I would do is start with a particular subpopulation. So you wouldn't go after the full 1,000 at first. I would probably start with veteran homelessness, or that's what would be my priority, because it's about a little over 100 veterans are homeless in Shasta County. So it's a manageable number. And focus, and they have some unique funding sources and also some unique challenges that they're dealing with. And so focus on that. Go through that 100, update that on a monthly basis, because, you know, today we only update that count annually and we're not even doing it this year. And so we don't have a sense of how are things changing? How do we need to adjust? And then the third piece of this, and if you look at Texas is seeing, you know, significant declines in homelessness, even in their big cities. And part of what they're doing is consistent enforcement of a ban on public camping. And so I think that's necessary, because if you look at our last point in time count, only about 60% of the beds that are available to the homeless were being used. And so we have additional resources in the community that are not being fully utilized. And my perspective is that I don't think most people will have a chance of going from living in a tent under an overpass to getting in stable housing, having a job, saving money. I think we have to get them into some kind of shelter to have a chance at, you know, getting them onto a path to recovery. And so that's what I'd like to see us move towards, having consistent enforcement. I would say if we focused on that for 6 to 9 months, got Anderson PD, Reading PD on board, and the sheriff's office. And we have to make sure we have sufficient options to offer them. But then, and in most cases we do, then do consistent enforcement for 6 to 9 months. And that will get started. That's the first part of the plan that I would propose for it.
Well, there's been legal opinions, though, from courts that said you can't move somebody out of a camp unless they've got a place to go to.
Exactly.
And then it went into, well, you've got Good News Rescue Mission, which has lots of seats. Then they said, oh, no, it's a religious thing. Well, for the first 30, maybe 60 days now, it's not. It's just you have a place to sleep and get clean and all that for 60 days. And then at that point, you have to sign up for something. The problem that we have is mainly in Reading. I'm not sure how much is out in the county per se. So you're talking about the county, which just gave up that continuum of care to the city and passed several million dollars over to them. you would have, you know, that what they're doing would have to be countywide. And can you enforce no camping restrictions?
So, yeah.
I don't know. I think there's other places in California that are doing it. So why couldn't we? I don't understand that.
Well, and we are enforcing it kind of episodically. So we do it a little bit, and then we, you know, kind of don't do it for a bit. And so it ends up reshuffling people around, which is not good for them or the community. The other thing to note is that there's currently a case going before the Supreme Court with Grants Pass, Oregon, that is going to be on this very topic. And so,
right. And they move people.
Right.
I saw that.
And so that will obviously clarify, you know, a lot of this. I would like to see Shasta County, you know, put their support, you know, not basically voice their support for movement in that direction. Even Governor Newsom has been supportive of, you know, that, which I think is an interesting shift. And so we're seeing that it's gotten to a breaking point where people are realizing, yes, this has to happen in order for us to make progress on it. And so we can.
Do you advocate for building like tiny homes? Tiny home things that you see.
I'd say we should try to satisfy the number of housing we need to meet in order to enforce this ban in the cheapest way possible. And the cheapest way is repurposing existing motels or hotels to the extent they exist. Obviously, you can run out of that. But, you know, we started in this community with the idea that you could build a micro shelter for, I think it was like $15,000 to $20,000, right? And now if you look at the ones that the city has done, and granted, I think it's helped to get a few on board, but now it's talking about like 200,000, 300,000. And so I'd say.
But one of those little micro shelters?
Yeah. It's crazy. And
it is
and,
crazy. That's stupid. That's just
right.
Stupid.
That's the challenge.
You could buy a large plastic shed that would work fine. It's waterproof. It's got that. You can put electricity into it, and you could have communal bathrooms outside for like $10,000.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we can't afford that. So you say repurposing. Would it be, you know, really if you have what they're doing for the veterans down in the city of Shasta Lake is they're building a multi room facility there, I think for 12 people. That to me, when you say repurpose a hotel, do you mean taking over buying a hotel or renting a hotel to put people into?
So I think the city of Reading has explored a few of these options. Yeah. We're seeing it happen here on, you know, just down the road from the studio here on Market Street. And so those were options where they weren't being fully utilized. And so, you know, the program, No Boundaries has taken, you know, basically manages those. And so we're seeing that work there. I know they're looking to get a few other properties that are already existing structures, but to kind of take over. And so I think that's, we should explore those options. If we exhaust those options, then we'll have to turn to some other alternatives.
Do you see a 10-acre facility with heavy-duty tents in them and portable heads and showers and all that to put a bunch of people in? You know, you fence it in, say this is where you can camp in one area. Can we do that?
So potentially the thing that I would be most interested in if that was proposed is the management of it. And I think No Boundaries has had some success in because of the way that it's, you know, there's oversight and management there. And so I wouldn't want just to, like, create an open camping space and then just allow people to go in there and do what they want
You'd have to have some kind of management security and all that. Now, is all this based on the fact, we're going to house you, but you've got to change your ways? Or is this just, nope. You don't have to change anything. You can still use drugs and all that, but we're going to give you a place to stay.
We have to attach conditions to it. And I think, you know, even San Francisco, for example, the mayor proposed there doing, making general assistance conditional on getting drug tested.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
So,
what a surprise that was.
Right, exactly. And so if San Francisco is doing that, we certainly should be doing that up here, is attaching some conditions to it. And, incentivizing people. We should make it that the best decision for them is the easiest decision to make. And so incentivizing them to participate in, you know, a treatment if that's necessary. You know, and a lot of folks have talked about this, but a lot of the challenges for homelessness stem from either substance abuse and use or mental illness. And so, pushing people into those services. And then, the thing that is a challenge now is that we have a number of effective services, but they operate in kind of isolation. So I've talked to a number of homeless people who said, I've been to rehab 4 or 5 times. I do my 30 days, but I end up back in the same environment that I started. And so it just restarts the cycle. So I'm actually not making any step forward. I'm just kind of going through this cycle. And so we need to make sure that we're, have a system that is not letting people fall through the cracks, because then we're just wasting resources.
Okay. I'm here with Matt Plummer. He's running for District 4 Supervisor. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. If you're looking for a second opinion on your insurance, health insurance, home insurance, any of that, which the state of California, in its infinite wisdom, is trying to destroy, what about your retirement plans? With inflation going the way it is, your 401ks? GD Maxwell has 2 separate divisions, insurance and financial management. For a free review and evaluation of any of your plans, give them a call at 530-221-0441. She's been helping people since 1993 and does a good job. She treats people like friends. We do business with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We're real happy there. Give them a call, 530-221-0441, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, next to Members First Credit Union. And we'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
We'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for all their community support, including the bike shop. They do so much for our community, and we're beyond grateful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rancheria. You are the ones we can always count on to help us out in tough times. They're the people that have always been there for us, much more so than anyone else in our community. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Umpqua Bank presents Predator vs. Prey Indoor Animal Show at Turtle Bay Exploration Park, featuring live animals showcasing their natural survival techniques used for hunting, foraging, adapting, and surviving in the wild. This educational animal show features mammals, reptiles, and free-flying birds. Saturdays from 2 to 2:30 inside the Mill Building at Turtle Bay. Included with paid admission, free for members. Great for animal enthusiasts of all ages. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The seasons are changing. Keeping your family healthy is important. So is the health of your car. The longevity and reliability of your vehicle depends on you to make sure your oil, radiator coolant, windshield wipers, and other vital systems have all been taken care of so your car can bring your healthy family through the seasons. Drive into Premier Oil Change today and experience the friendly oil change. Premier doesn't require an appointment, and you don't drop your car off or wait. Maintain your car warranty with our service while you stay in the comfort and safety of your own car. Enjoy a free beverage and Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Stop into a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro, in the Holiday Shopping Center, or in Redding, on Lake Boulevard, near Waterworks Park, and Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
You don't have a daddy thing going on back there, do you? In your music?
No.
Okay, I was just wondering.
No, I just thought it's a cool historical music from the festival 1979.
Oh, 1979.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just love old music.
When were you born?
20 years after.
Oh.
Almost. Okay, in 96.
Okay. Well, that's okay. You still look like you're 12. Mm-hmm. Hey, good morning. Good morning. Welcome back. That was Christina, our producer. And today, the 25th of January, 8:34 in the morning, this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue. It's across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. You see Lucky Miller's, you pull into the parking lot, and there they are. Cypress Square Barbershop, locally owned, locally operated, a veteran-owned business that gives just great haircuts. And the only place I've been in Reading to have a haircut, and once I found it, it was me. I just kind of like found my little home there. If you want to make an appointment for a haircut, they do that at 530-244-9478. You just stop in. If they've got an opening, they're going to give you a great haircut, or they'll tell you, hey, look, we're booked up for the next 2 hours. Those kind of things, because they're pretty busy down there. That's Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold. I'm here with Matt Plummer, who is running for District 4 Supervisor, and we're talking about the things on his checklist. The first one, big one, was homelessness. And then the second one is cutting crime.
Right, yeah. I mean, these are the top two things that I hear when I go around the neighborhoods and talk to people that they're concerned about. And when it comes to crime, obviously the county has a huge role to play in there, in that it oversees the jail, which has been, you know, a major pain point over the last 1 to 2 years, given that a third of the jail was closed for over a year. And so I think there's a lot of talk now about building an addendum to the jail.
Mm-hmm.
And
how do you feel about that?
Well, I think we do need to increase the jail space. We arrest 700 to 800 people a month, and our current jail only has capacity for 450. So yeah, those numbers don't make any sense, right? We arrest 700, but we only have 450 spots. And so what that means is two things. One, yes, we could benefit from a new jail, but a new jail addendum. But at the same time, a new jail addendum, even if it expands our capacity to 700 beds, it's not going to be the complete answer, because still most of the people that we arrest are not going to have space in the jail. And so we need to think about it comprehensively about, is our criminal justice system working? And I think we're seeing aspects of it that are really effective. Tracy Neal presented some, results from their juvenile program at the board meeting this week, and that is showing, really low levels of recidivism. I think she said something around 13%, which is great. But overall, as a system, I think our system is not working, in the sense that we have high recidivism rates, and we have folks who are having mental illness, who are on drugs, that are taking up space in the jail, that there might be other options. And so, for one example, there's a stepping up initiative that 37 other counties in California do, and 300 counties around the country take advantage of, and that it basically, when someone has mental illness in the jail, it diverts them into another program that helps them get the care that they need, and basically reduces the likelihood that they end up recommitting crimes. And so I want to see us invest in those things. The other thing, I did a tour of the jail. And so if you're in jail, I mean, you're in a room that is basically the size of a closet, a little bigger, with one other person who's committed some type of crime, and you're in there for 20 hours a day. And as I thought about it, I was like, if I were in that condition for 6 to 9 months, would I be more or less likely to commit crimes when I come out of that? And, I don't think jail should be a cozy, a fun experience, but I think it should be designed so that the time that you're spending in jail makes you less likely to commit crime when you come out. And if we're just putting someone in a room for 20 hours a day with pretty much nothing else, and having them be in close quarters with another criminal, how is that going to reduce the likelihood that they commit crimes? And so I want us to use the time that they're in jail more effectively.
Okay. Fixing our roads. On your website, you said our roads rank seventh worst in the state.
Yes. So
scoring an average of 50 out of 100. What do you score them on? Holes?
So they,
if it's on holes, we should be in the top one. If you're
right.
Like a placer.
Exactly. So they do something called the pavement condition index, and now they actually have a machine, and we actually are redoing the analysis this year. And so they drive over the roads and it analyzes a number of factors of the condition of the road, and then it scores it on the basis of that. And so you can look at every county or every road in the county and see what its individual score is on that pavement condition index. And so when you average all that out, you get to 50. We have about, I think it's 275 roads that are below 50. And so what I would like to see us do, and so when I talk to Public Works, what I ask them is, like, how do you make decisions about which roads to resurface and fix? Because we have about $6 to $8 million a year that we're putting towards fixing our roads. And they said, well, we look at the pavement condition index, so we try to prioritize roads that are in bad condition, but we also look at average traffic. And so what happens is we end up spending that $6 to $8 million on the roads that, yeah, are in the poorest condition, but of the roads that are traveled frequently. So the roads that don't get as much traffic, they keep getting pushed down to the bottom of the list. And I get that. That makes sense. But at the same time, those roads just keep getting worse and worse.
When you get to things like 44, that's a state road, though, right?
Right, yeah.
And 5 is a state road. So you're talking about – and you're talking about roads outside the city because
exactly.
The city has to take care of the roads even though they don't. So, I know they try. Come on. But look at Placer. It's been a mess for a year. So you're talking about the county roads that mm-hmm. are out there, like the Chutes.
Right, exactly.
Those kind of things.
Yeah.
And so 6 to 8 million, when you talk to them, how much does that fix? I mean, the cost of asphalt and labor and all that stuff is huge.
So it costs about $325,000 to resurface
a mile
of the road.
Okay.
So that's why, when I looked at it, I said, if we just tried to fix the roads that score under 25, which is basically considered failed, and that would cost us about $3.6 million.
Okay.
And I think that is doable in terms of getting grant funding. We saw the city of Shasta Lake resurface 60% of the roads over the last 14 years. And so there's grant funding out there for resurfacing a lot of these roads. I mean, there's a lot of infrastructure money coming from the federal government, from the state government. And so I'd like to see us go after that. The challenge is, you know, I asked them, how do you approach, you know, going after grants in the Public Works Department? And they're like, well, we have one of our engineers, you know, try to spend a little time doing it. And that's not going to be a recipe for success, in part because we need our engineers, which are limited, to be spending time on engineering, but also because they are not necessarily equipped to be finding these grants and then writing these grant proposals. And so I'd like to see us pursue some grant funding that's available currently, try to keep that $6 to $8 million on what they're doing.
You said $375,000 a mile?
325.
Oh, 325. I think I did 375.
Okay.
And 20 miles comes up to 7.5 million. So 20, okay, so it'd be a little bit less than that, but still it would be only 20 miles. And
right.
You can't, I mean, there's got to be many more miles than that. I mean, is the amount of money we put into the budget for roads realistic?
Well, the challenge that we're seeing, and this is true of all counties in California, is a lot of the funding for roads comes from gas tax. And gas tax on a per person basis is going down because fewer people are driving, gas powered vehicles. And, you know, also we're seeing more fuel efficient vehicles. And so they're spending less on gas. So what's happening is, on a per-person basis, the amount of funding that we have coming to us to pay for these things is actually going down.
And it will continue to go down.
Exactly.
Until the state puts a mileage meter on our cars, which they will do. And then they will charge us on how much the right, how far we drive, which is patently unfair to rural counties. as opposed to city counties, you know, cities.
Right. So, yeah, that's the direction they're headed. And so, I mean, that's, and it's the same thing why if you build a new development in the county, it is going to be, and you have to build new roads, you have to create a private road district, a PRD, that is then funded by fees from first the developer and then the residents. Because the county is basically saying, if we add any more, we can't even necessarily maintain the roads we have, but if we add any more roads, then those are going to have to be sustained by the people who are moving in there and living there.
Yeah, and there's a case in front of the Supreme Court right now. The guy got hit in here in California, got hit with a $23,000 impact fee for roads when he built an 1,800 square foot manufactured home on his own property. And he sued the county saying, how can you charge me? These are already roads that, you know, that, that are in disrepair and all this, and you're using me and, and picking on me. Well, it's up in front of the Supreme Court. And can the counties do something like that? So
that'll be interesting to see how it plays out, for sure. Yeah.
He says, I don't mind paying my fair share.
Right.
You know, take a look at my house, how much, you know, how much we're going to be driving on those roads and charge me for that. But to charge me $23,000 for one 1,800 square foot house seems a little exorbitant. So that made it up to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. We're with Matt Plummer, running for supervisor, District 4, and we'll be right back.
So let the liquid spirit breathe. The people are thirsty because the man's a natural hand. Watch what happens when the people catch wind, when the water hits the banks of that hard dry land.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4. I've lived in Shasta County for over 50 years, and it's been a true honor to serve as chairman of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors this last year. Proven conservative leadership. I'm leading the effort to build a new correctional facility for Shasta County. Working closely with the sheriff, public works, and our CEO, I believe this will help immensely reduce crime in Shasta County. Thank you for your support. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Jones, Supervisor, District 4.
Supervisor Kevin Cry has never thought the elections in Shasta County were a problem. Here's what he said early on.
I don't think there's any problem with our local elections.
But he voted to blow up the voting system anyway. Then he said,
we will not use Shasta County money to go down this direction. And I will not cost the taxpayers money.
A new voting system has already cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Cry says one thing, does another. Can't trust him. Recall Kevin Cry. Paid for by the committee to recall Kevin Cry.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no-side-effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult-to-treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by. Get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Are you wanting a new look for your kitchen or bathroom? At Design Time and Tile, they have granite slabs on sale for $500. You heard correct. Only $500 on select granite slabs. Look for the orange tags. Design Time and Tile's orange tag sale only lasts while inventory lasts. So shop today. Stop by their showroom at Clear Creek Road and Highway 273 and speak with one of their design consultants. Or visit their website, designtime.store. Design Time and Tile, again voted best in the North State.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio, our last segment here on Thursday, the 25th of January, 2024. About 47 degrees out there, my friends. And I'm here with Matt Plummer, who is running for District 4 Supervisor. And let's go to the phones. Dana, good morning. Hello, Dana. You're on.
Well, this is Donna.
Oh, Donna. Okay.
Donna.
Sorry, Donna.
I'm wondering what would this man do different than what our Supervisor Patrick Jones is doing? Why is he running against him, and what changes? What would he do different?
Oh, okay, that's a good question. Thank you, Donna.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I believe that we should evaluate our elected officials on the basis of the results that they get for the community, not necessarily policies that are passed or decisions or not exclusively decisions that are made around spending money. And so if you look at the results, during Patrick's time in office, both on the Reading City Council, where he served 8 years from 2007 on, and then as supervisor, we're seeing these challenges that are key priorities for people all get worse. And so we're seeing homelessness get worse. We're seeing crime, get worse. We're seeing our roads deteriorate. We have the highest suicide rate, the highest rate of childhood trauma in the state. And so there's a number of, if we look at the measures of how well our community is doing, those are declining. And that's my focus, is I want to see us actually get results for the community. And because that has not been happening over the 11 plus years that, Patrick has been in office, I felt like we needed a new leadership to focus us on that and to focus the county government on those issues and drive progress towards those.
There's been a couple of resolutions passed in this in the last few weeks. One is to take a stand against Senate Bill 2. Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
Okay. What's your stand on that?
So I think Senate Bill 2 is an overreach of state government. We're seeing that it's tied up in the, some elements of it in the legal process right now and likely in part to be refuted. I think, I'm supportive of the idea of having concealed carry people with a CCW to be able to carry in government buildings or in public meetings in general, with a few caveats, because if you see, there's 38 states actually that allow that. And so
carry and you don't have to go through anything. Constitutional carry.
Even Washington DC actually allows you to, people with a CCW license to carry in government buildings. So I would say that now there's a few caveats to that. One is that, I think we're, basically, I would expect that the Supreme Court the court case would not rule that piece of it is unconstitutional, because there are states already that are prohibiting it. And so I don't see them, ruling that. So basically what that means is that the current ordinance would be suggesting that we take some action that violates state law. And so I think that is a perilous place to be, a dangerous place to be. And so we should be cautious. I think it would be smarter for us to wait to see how this court case plays out. So that's number one. Number two, I think the idea of rushing it through without having talked to county employees and particularly the Sheriff's Association was not a good move. And the kind of implication that this would apply to county employees, even though as the county council stated it doesn't until there's actually that conversation. So I would have liked to see them actually go through the process of having those conversations in advance so that they could be part of the process. And I think that's something that we're seeing as characteristic of the current board, that there's a rush to make decisions without bringing people in who actually are affected by it or could inform it. And then the last piece is, I think, you know, I would be in favor of starting by saying, okay, you can carry in local government buildings, but not in government meetings to start, and we'll revisit that in 6 or 12 months. Because the divisiveness and the contentiousness of our county meetings over the last 3 years has been really heightened. I mean, a lot of people do not feel comfortable in that environment already. And so I don't think we...
The people carry in there already, don't they? Into the county courthouse? I mean, into the where the county chambers are for the Board of Supervisors. That's open, isn't it?
I don't know if people do carry or not at this point.
I know the city council chambers, you know, when they have their meetings, you can carry in there.
Well, the decision by SB2 would
outlaw everywhere.
Yeah, most
everywhere.
Places. Right. And so
pretty much everywhere.
Right. And I think that that's a problem. Right. And so what I'm saying is that there's going to be likely, and we'll see what the courts say, there's going to be a state law that says you can't carry in local government buildings. I'm saying.
All right. Yeah. Let's move on. I've only got like 5 minutes left.
Sure.
Fountain Wind Project. State's taken over.
Right. I think that the county has been clear. The people of the county have been clear that we don't want it. And so.
Did you fight it?
I would fight it, but I would fight it differently than the county is currently doing. We're spending $100,000 for a public information campaign to educate our people on something that they've already said they don't want. I don't think that's going to be effective. I think the key will be bringing in people outside of the county who will support us. We've seen counties, including Los Angeles County and a lot of more left-leaning counties, oppose these projects in the past. We should be trying to recruit them. We've seen even the head of the renewable energy group at the state level oppose it because he doesn't think it's good for pushing this on counties. And so we should be rallying folks behind this effort rather than trying to educate a public that has already said that they don't want it.
Okay, what about the construction of a casino on I-5?
So, from what I can tell, it's moving forward. I don't think that the agreement that we made in the summer with the tribe was well done. The sheriff, the fire chief, both not only were not informed of what was happening, but also said that they don't think that will cover the cost. So, you know, at this point we've made that agreement. It seems that the tribe is open to further negotiation around that. And so I'd like to see us continue those conversations and make sure that those numbers actually pencil. And so, at this point, that feels like the most practical piece to work on is what is the agreement that we're signing with them, given that the state and federal government is pushing forward. Now, if that reopens and there's a new decision around or a new opportunity to voice support or opposition to it, then I think that I would re-examine that.
Would you be in favor or opposed if it came back up again?
Well, I'd say that my general principle is that the government should be hesitant to tell someone they can't do something on property that they own. And so
how do you lean right now? Yes or no?
I would lean towards support of it as it currently stands.
Okay, that's what I was looking for. Okay, we got 2 minutes. Why should people vote for Matt Plummer?
So my focus is going to be on making progress on the challenges that we can all agree exist, that people are talking about on a daily basis. Homelessness, crime, roads, those are the three things that people say kind of everywhere you go in the county. And actually holding the government accountable to deliver those results. I think we should have published goals where you can go to the county and say, this is what the county's working on, and here's how they're doing. That doesn't exist today, and so the incentives for government are to spend more money and to deliver more services. And that's what you're seeing with this board, even though, you know, they said they're fiscal conservative. They approved a 5% increase on the budget. They're adding additional expenses, you know, most of the board meetings, and now decreasing revenue. And so we're not seeing that this is getting into a better fiscal position. Our county government has grown from $500 million in 2019 to $660 million, and we're not getting better results for it. I'd like to see us get results for the community and actually shrink the government by making it more effective.
Shrinking government? That's heresy, isn't it?
Well, and that's the challenge, right?
It is, because there's more and more stuff coming down from above.
Well, and I think there's a perception that the way to shrink government is just to slash it, but I think the way to shrink government is to make it more effective, because if county government was more effective, it would reduce the need for itself, and then we'd be able to, you know, if fewer people in our community needed general assistance and government funding, then we wouldn't need as many eligibility workers to help them qualify for it. And so that's what I'd like to see us do.
Okay. So how do people get a hold of you? When's your next event to learn about you?
So you can go to mattplummer.com. That's Plummer with two M's. And you can also email me at matt@mattplummer.com. And next week there's going to be a forum with all the candidate for supervisors across all districts on Wednesday up in Shasta Lake at 6 p.m. And then I'll also be having just pop-in events on Thursday at Taste and See on Hilltop from 7 to 9 p.m. and then in Shasta Lake 7 to 9 a.m. on Friday.
Okay. We covered a lot of stuff today. And as with all the other candidates, you'll be back again before the election, which is like March 6th.
March 5th, yes.
Oh, okay, March 5th. But it's March 6th if you're Democrats. It's March 5th for everybody else. No, I'm just kidding. Don't send me nasty emails, okay? I was just teasing. Anyway, okay, Matt, well, thanks for coming in today. And as I tell everybody, good luck.
Thank you.
Out there, and let's try and keep this as above board as we can.
Absolutely.
You know? All right, everybody. Tomorrow, One Safe Place joins us along with a couple other surprises. And have a great day. And God bless America.
Back down.
Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.